You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Can only come from you. Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
What are you gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all?
Yeah. Our government cares about
you. They ain't giving up a second thought about you. No. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope you are well today. Hope you're going to have a good day. Hope you have a great weekend. Hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it is not, and it has to get done, it better get done. You will do it. You will get it done. And you will do it safely. And that's why we respect you and admire you and love you for all the efforts on our behalf. Get it done. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, and we kind of got it together now, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that, and in the drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. And now also, too, for your brothers and sisters listening, you can just go to tune in once again and you'll hear the program. We were off for a while, but we're back on tune in. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern time, and all times are going to give our Eastern times. On Mondays, Acres of Diamonds Public Affairs Programming with out of Philadelphia with Jahad Ahmed. That's followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report. The Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9 on Wednesdays. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, today Friday, 8 p.m. tonight, Time for Awakening? Show right, brothers and sisters, it's Time for an Awakening tonight with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Tomorrow, Saturdays from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9 on tomorrow, the Sankofa Elders Council. On Sunday from 7 p.m. until it's once again Time for an Awakening. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. And, of course, the easy way to listen to this program is go to babaoshi.net, B-A-B-A-O-S-H-I.net. And there will be programs that are dated and titled for you. That's an easy way to do it. Other programming. Oh, other announcements. That's what I got. Announcements. Yes. Okay. Sometimes I just got to get this stuff in order. You're right. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses. That's right, Brother Kwaku. TuneIn is back on. You can go to TuneIn and listen. Go to TuneIn.com and then
Look for Time for an Awakening. Click on that, and you can listen to the program from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on TuneIn. And, of course, other Time for an Awakening programs are going to be on TuneIn as well. So get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from We Buy Black. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bomani Taiyemba. Go to AfricaForTheAfricans.org. And on the website, you will have everything that you need to make a trip of a lifetime, brothers and sisters. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. His upcoming trip, November 18th through the 29th to Tanzania. November 18th through the 29th. And then December 24th to January 5th, 2022 in Ghana. And then April 1st through the 11th, 2022 to Senegal and Gambia. And then May 24th to June 5th, 2022, once again to Ghana. And all of these trips are $3,700. $3,700, brothers and sisters. Put a $400 deposit down and pay on it. Especially like for some of us who feel pretty confident that next year the pandemic will not be as severe and they want to go. That's a, you know, you want to go to Ghana or you want to go to Senegal and Gambia. I want to go to Tanzania. And it is not the pandemic, the coronavirus is not as bad in Africa. That is right. It is not. But you do your research. But when you do your research, if you want to go on this trip, go to AfricaForTheAfricans.org. And if you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. And if you want to give him a call at 404-931-9429, that's 404-931-9429. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Baba Rinoko Rashidi, he's going to be going to Kemet, but he has some webinars. He has a webinar. It is Friday, July 16th, next Friday, 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, our time. And that's African Images and Art, from Africa to Europe to the Americas, the African Images in Art. And then the next, Monday, July 19th, the Sidras, an African people in India. Learn about the African people in India, a conversation with Pazington Obang and Dr. Rinoko Rashidi. That is Monday evening, 7:30 Eastern Time, and the fee is $20 for the tier 4 and 5 patron subscriptions. And I could read the last part later. And then, of course, he's going to Kemet July 31st to August 13th. July 31st to August 13th, he's going to Kemet. And so, Baba Rinoko, check him out. Brothers and sisters, give Baba Rinoko a call at 323-803-8663. That's 323-803-8663. Then you can go on a trip of a lifetime to Kemet. This trip is usually around about $4,200, about $4,200. Okay. Habashah, HabashahIncorporated.org. Go to HabashahIncorporated.org to learn what these brothers and sisters are doing here in the States and on the continent, here in Ghana, the Kashi Project in Ghana. The buildings are up. There's continuing to need funding for to develop that. But here locally, of course, they're doing great work. They have Habashah Works program. It basically is sustainable agriculture, black to your roots, sustainable seeds, golden growers, and the urban green jobs. HabashahIncorporated.org. The Ledge Group, theledgegroup.com, land for the environmental development of group economics, theledgegroup.com, brothers and sisters. Become a member of Ledge Group, and you too can go to Tanzania and purchase an acre of land for only $250. But you have to be a member of the Ledge Group. ledgegroup.com. Of course, they deal in the four areas of human activity that are necessary for human survival, which is food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in six countries with over 170 employed and over 260 members, brothers and sisters. Become a member of the ledgegroup.com. B.B. Toomey, I want to thank my brother for helping me out with the donation, Brother Quake, who is along with, Brother Quake, who along with Brother Cuardo and Dr. Kambatale Kimbon had an accident, him and his family in Ghana. Their car was destroyed, but blessedly, nobody was seriously injured. It is a blessing when you go online to see what the car looks like. But, of course, they need another vehicle, and they're asking brothers and sisters to help donate. And please do so. Support the Kimbon family at bibiatumi.com. That's A-B-I-B-I-T-U-M-I.com, bibiatumi.com. Also, too, for bibiatumi.com. Oh, man, that's a nice T-shirt. We Are Our Ancestors. You can purchase We Are Our Ancestors T-shirt on the website of bibiatumi.com. And that is real because I saw a T-shirt that says We Are Not Our Ancestors, basically saying that the implication was that our ancestors capitulated with the Caucasian. A lot of times we did that out of pure survival because it would have been like mass suicide or mass murder. Basically, let's put it real, mass murder. And so some of us who thought that we did not fight back and basically saying to the Caucasians of today, we and our ancestors, I'll bust you in your shit. Oh, excuse me. I'll bust you in your sugar, honey, iced tea. You know, the reality is we fought. We continue to fight today, but we are our ancestors. We must understand and respect and rely on our ancestors. Also, too, next week, Saturday, the SKH and the Liberation of the African Mind, a conversation with Dr. Wade Nobles, next Saturday at 1 p.m. That's 1 p.m. Eastern Time. 1 p.m. Eastern Time on bibiatumi.com. bibiatumi.com. Also, too, there's a program that they have. They live the experience of returning to Ghana, the repatriation, the Sankofa program in Ghana. Let me play this so you can hear this. It's beautiful. This is really beautiful. Hold on, family.
What if there was a unique travel experience for you to discover your true African greatness?
The Sankofa journey is calling you. Experience royalty. Traditional African dance. Hear the sounds of the bells and the drum. It's the shopping. Get the fashions. Meet your African family. This is your legacy. Remember the past. Discover your inner warrior. Taste. Register now. www.sankofajourney.com.
That's the Sankofa Journey, brothers and sisters, going to Ghana, West Africa. You can register on Bibi Atumi. You go to sankofajourney.com. And once again, your ability to get to Ghana, I'm not sure what the cost is. I try to register, but I'm not sure what the cost is. But I'll find out and let you know, and hopefully you'll take. But it's coming up soon. Yep, September 1st to the 12th. So, you know, we'll see. All right. All right. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta. I'm Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard. And, of course, Wadada's has delicious smoothies and health drinks and all kinds of good stuff for you at Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. They have a lot of herbs and so forth at Wadada's. I mean, they're always transforming. And, of course, on weekends, on I think it is Saturday and Sunday, they offer vegan dishes, vegan food. So check out Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located on Ralph David Abernathy, right across the street from the Soul Veg, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. And the number to call is 404-444-1635. That's 404-444-1635. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. Mama Nia at the Greenbrier Mall, went to see her the other day. She looks great, and the store looks fantastic. So if you're in the area, go stop in the Greenbrier Mall. Stop at the Medu Bookstore, right there in the main walkway. Can't miss it, the Medu Bookstore. And give Mama Nia a call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. The other bookstore we also promote is the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia with my good brother Gazimde Ajamu. Brothers and sisters, there is light in the Black Dot. Give him a call at 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. Black Dot. They both sell the red, black, and green shoes at Black Dot, as well as the Shrine of the Black Madonna, a few other places. And check them out. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People. They had their Thursday night broadcast last night on blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The name of the program is Dare to Win. Every Thursday night at 9 p.m. from 9 to 10. And the number to call, if you want to listen or if you want to give a comment, question, or concern, is 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. That's Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People, in the spirit of Ujamaa Cooperative Economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Sun Goddess Sense. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia. Inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. That's right, Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop. Give our good sister Shelly Amundsen a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay Dash Haiti. Please, brothers and sisters, go online to sanjay-haiti.com. Excuse me, .org. I apologize, .org. Of course, we know that Haiti is having some difficult days right at this moment. They've been having difficult days. They had difficult days at the beginning when they overthrew the French, and then the collaboration of United States, Britain, and Spain, as well as France, got together to make Haiti, punish Haiti, take half the damn island. Spain took half the island. I mean, they said that, hey, listen, we cannot have in this hemisphere the overthrow of Caucasians that would inspire other Caucasians and other islands and other parts in South America. And of course, here in United States, no, we can't have it. We got to suppress you and punish you. Made Haiti pay reparations to the French, and the French in their departure just tore stuff up, just tore it up. Sonjay-Haiti. SONJAYITI.org. Check it out, brothers and sisters, the great work that my sister, you know, is doing, the great work that she is doing. Sonjay-Haiti. Right on, Sister Gabrielle Aurelia. Okay. Akabin Institute. Brother Baba Baruti, please, brothers and sisters, I ain't going to even give the P.O. box number out no more. I'm going to just say, go to PayPal. Go to Cash App. If you go to Cash App, the $ Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, B-A-R-U-T-I, and begin to make a donation. Make a consistent donation to Akabin Institute to help Baba Baruti and his lovely wife, Yah, educate our warriors. Give them the straight information. Give them the information that fortifies them, strengthens them, brothers and sisters. If you want to read books by Baba Baruti, he's a prolific writer, go to AkabinHouse.com. AkabinHouse.com. Baba Mwalimu Baruti. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. July 8th, issue the warning, some will survive, Ugandan proverb. Warriors have a responsibility to be honest and earnest ears. They have a duty to speak of evil's presence and movements against us. Theirs is not a concern over the efficiency of their words, though they should speak clearly and in a language that the people they serve can understand. Their mission is to issue the warning and continue along their path. Those who hear and understand know how to think, speak, and act. Those who do not, will not. Forcing either to recognize the threat and to do whatever is necessary to correct evil's presence and movements in the spaces they are responsible for is far beyond the warrior's duty and responsibility. Warriors are not proselytizers. They are not here to force compliance in either those who have the potential to be righteous or those determined to be the opposite. That is their burden and magnificence in their word and deed. Warriors are merely messengers who set the frontline standard. Affirm, I will survive. With a warrior's mentality. Affirm, I will survive with a warrior's mentality. July 9th. One does not ignore leprosy to treat a rash. Yoruba proverb. Being thoroughly knowledgeable about Yoruba's craft and exploits does not change the power equation. It brings no balance. It does not stop them or release us. Knowing that these evil overlords are putting an enormous amount of thought, time, and energy into destroying us does not alter the fact that they are destroying us. Discovering, examining, and revealing volume after volume of their impacted intellectual lives merely addresses a pimple in the contagions they bring. Battling against the lies they call literature, which, although important to our understanding of them as a problem, is still only a rash, has never proven effective against sworn destroyers. While it may open a few of our eyes, showing Yorugus their flaws has never changed their behavior, except in calculated moves to do even greater, more sophisticated damage later. Knowing without possessing the ability to correct is utter waste. So what could a warrior possibly have to debate them or their minions about? What is the benefit, especially given that the Negro's job is to delay the warrior's response time until it becomes later, little more than a belated reaction? The leprosy is Yorugu. The rash is the destruction of African people. We know enough of what and why. Warriors must use their power to bring a balance of power. And this is a state of existence which has nothing to do with equality. Nothing to do with equality. Affirm, I do not become lost in small issues. Affirm, I do not become lost in small issues. July 10th. There is in the souls of black folks, even when inarticulate and crippled, a yearning toward black validation. The great poetess, Gwendolyn Brooks. We do not need the Europeans' approval to properly educate our children. I don't know why this is happening. Okay, y'all, spare me. We do not need the Europeans' approval to properly educate our children or ourselves. We do not need their institutions. We do not need their curriculum. We do not need their voices in our ears or faces in our eyes. We do not need their validation to be African. The only thing we need is the will. Let me repeat. The only thing we need is the will and knowing of our ancestors. With that determination and knowledge, the debate over our intellectual vision ends. Again, we do not need their validation to be African, to be powerful, to nation build, to intelligently and consciously follow the footsteps of our ancestors. We do, however, need to know how to think critically from our African center. We do need to be willing to open, embrace, and struggle within that precedes the sovereignties without. And we definitely need to anticipate victory. We are indeed the most beautiful, magnificent people, and nothing that anyone does in an effort to disprove it can do anything but enhance this fact. Ashe. Affirm, I yearn for black validation only. Affirm, I yearn for African validation only. We do not need anything. We have what we have right before us if we have the will and the desire to make it a reality. That's right. Today is a Yo Show Friday. Anything that's on your mind, give us a call. You want to talk about, give us a call at 215-490-9832. On a program. Also, too, on Fridays, I need to mention the Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness Program of my dear friend and good brother, Brother Yusuf Muhammad. Brother Yusuf Muhammad, former president of the International Association of Black Professional Firefighters, as I am. We went to Tulsa together, room together. Always a pleasure to be in that brother's company. Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness every Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern. From 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern. And the number to call on Blog Talk Radio is 563-999-3089. That's 563-999-3089. Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. Yes, sir. A good friend of mine died last year, and admire him and respect him tremendously. He was the president emeritus, or chairman emeritus, of the National Black United Front. He's also director emeritus of the Carruthers Center for Inner City Studies in Chicago, named after Baba Jetty, the great Dr. Jake Carruthers, and Brother Conrad Worrell. He died June 3rd, 2020. And COVID-19. He also said that he had cancer, you know. And so that's deep, ain't it? Yeah, Dr. Conrad. He's just a tough old dude. When I was told that he had it, I was very surprised, and even more surprised that he passed. But, of course, it took a lot of people last year and still taking people, you know. And so Brother Conrad Worrell, one of our great ancestors and a dear friend. I know Brother Mickey Dean, out of Kansas City, who's been on this program a lot of times. He once also admired Dr. Conrad World, and worked with him in the National Black United Front. Yeah. So I'm going to read from The Crusader, The Black Nationalist Tradition by Conrad. This appeared in April, a few months before he transitioned. This appeared in April. And one of the things I would love to, when I was in Chicago, I didn't get a chance. I'm going to do it next time when I have more time. It's been a couple of days. I want to see the track that he helped create for the brothers and sisters in the community. He's always been an athletic brother and sister. He's always been an athletic brother. And he always wanted to give back. And so working through the city of Chicago, and they have a track and field in a park. I'm not sure how it's structured, a stadium. I did see some pictures, but I'm not sure if it's already like a stadium thing or whatever, or just a track. I'm going to go check it out, though, anyway. Brother Conrad Worrell. Brother Conrad Worrell. I'm going to use African when I see black, because you know how I am. So I'm going to read this. The African Nationalist Tradition. The African Nationalist Tradition. Conrad Worrell. Ideas are weapons of war, and that is why the European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege system in America has used all of its available machinery to confuse, misinterpret, and dilute the meaning and impact of the African nationalist tradition in this country. One of the biggest challenges African people face in America is to rejuvenate African nationalism. African nationalist thinking has a tool in the struggle to determine for ourselves as a people what is in our best collective interest. There are far too many African people in this country who think what is good for other people should be good for us. Nothing could be further from the truth. We can only determine what is good for us by reestablishing African nationalism thinking and a developing nationalist program of action. This is the missing link to the liberation of African people in America and truly across this country, across the diaspora and on the continent. Let us briefly review the development and impact of African nationalism in America. African nationalism is a tradition that emerged in the early 19th century, the 1800s, among African leaders who understood the need for African people in America to develop a national identity as the only solution for African people in North America, Latin America, the Caribbean, and on the continent. I repeat, the only solution is an African identity that is embraced by us all. These 19th century Africans, such as Denmark Vesey, Nat Turner, David Walker, Henry Highland Garnett, James T. Holly, Martin R. Delaney, Pap Singleton, Edwin McCabe, and Bishop Henry McNeil Turner said, God is black. He's got to be black. Because if God is a white man, there is no hope. Love that quote. Bishop Henry McNeil Turner understood that African people in America were a nation within a nation and should organize collectively to struggle for the liberation of African people in this country and throughout the world. During this era, there were some African nationalist leaders before and after the Civil War who led movements for African people and African ancestors to leave this country and reestablish their homeland somewhere else. These proposals included, of course, Africa, Canada, and the Caribbean. Other African nationalist leaders led movements for African people to control the towns where they lived, and others who led movements to the western region of this country to establish all African towns in Kansas and Oklahoma. And we know how that turned out. The core of this African nationalist tradition has been to defeat and overthrow the system of European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, seize control of land, and to achieve self-determination for the oppressed African masses. The African nationalist tradition has always been opposed to integration, assimilation, and accommodation has a solution to the problems of African people in America and anywhere else. In this regard, African nationalist tradition has rejected the strategy and tactics appealing to the morality of Caucasians and their system. These are immoral people. They have no morality. They are amoral. They can give less than a rat's about how we feel. What we African nationalists have been historically clear that people in power don't teach powerless people how to get power. Dr. Clark said that best, didn't he? Powerless people could never get power from white. It's not in their interest to share. And they certainly don't give power away, even though when challenged, they may give up some concessions. Yes, some foolery, some trickery. As African nationalists emerged in the 20th century, the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey and the establishment of the Universal Negro Improvement Association, the UNIA, and the African Communities League, the ACLU, became the leading spokesperson for African nationalist ideas and organizing. Garvey used his varied skills to become one of our true 20th century freedom fighters. Garvey arrived in Harlem, New York, on March 16, 1916. By 1919, Garvey was well established as the president general of the UNIA ACLU that had membership of over 3 million people with more than 300 branches in the United States. Let me say this again. The UNIA had a membership of over 3 million people with more than 300 branches in the USA. Perhaps Garvey's greatest contribution to the upliftment of our people through African nationalism was his ability to find a formula for organizing African people around the African principle. The greatest good for the greatest number. Brothers and sisters, that must always be about who we are. The greatest good for the greatest number. Because, see, Europeans are very individualistic. I think they're therefore I am, you know, because individualism is a European Caucasian desire. But collectivism is an African imperative. It is a must. It is necessary. The greatest good for the greatest number of our people. This was reflected in the first international convention of the African people of the world in Madison Square Garden in 1920. Over 20,000 African people from all over the world witnessed the choosing of the red, black, and green as the colors of the provisional government. The red, black, and green. That's why all these other flags, that damn Juneteenth flag, all that other, stop it. Stop it. You know what? No. If y'all want to have it, go ahead. That's why, brothers and sisters, I'm constantly promoting to lay the gauntlet down, draw the damn line in the sand. Either you're with us or you're not. Either you're with self-determination, liberation, sovereignty for African people, or you're not. If you're for integration, if you're for all this, then fine. You can stay over there. This is what we must do. In this context, Garvey and the UNIA had established an economic arm, the African Factories Corporation, with cooperative stores, restaurants, laundries, tailor shops, dressmaking shops, millinery stores, doll factory to manufacture African dolls, and a publishing house. Also, Garvey formed a steamship corporation for the ability to do trade and to take our people back home. The African nationalist tradition was continued in the 20th century through the Nation of Islam and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who utilized many of Garvey's organizing tactics and strategy. It was during the 1960s Black Power explosion that African nationalist tradition reemerged through the influence of El Hajj Malik El Shabazz, Brother Omar Wali, Malcolm X, who adopted African nationalism as a political philosophy, economic and social philosophy, or the organization of African American unity in 1964 after he left the nation. Finally, the African nationalist tradition today is spearheaded through the African-centered education movement, the mass acceptance of Kwanzaa, African Liberation Day. Remember, I keep saying, the most important celebration, the most important acknowledgement for us as African people is, I'm just going to be real, it's sure the hell ain't Juneteenth. It's not even Kwanzaa. I love Kwanzaa. But African Liberation Day. African Liberation Day. A lot of time and energy putting program. We need to build up African Liberation Day as a worldwide acknowledgement, a worldwide commemoration of who we are as African people and to liberate our land. African Liberation Day must be a international African celebration of African people. African Liberation Day. Buy Black campaigns and reparation movements and controlling our own communities. Campaigns are all part of the ongoing African nationalist tradition. Without vigorous African nationalist thinking and an aggressive African nationalist program of action, we will continue to chase the false dreams created by the oppressors. We must put an end to this. Once African nationalism is understood by all African people, it will be the foundation upon which the true liberation of African people in America and throughout the world and truly on the continent will take place. My dear great ancestor, Brother Conrad Worrell, my good friend. There is no doubt about it that once again, you know this program. You're here listening to this program, and you know what we espouse on this program. Independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. Because to me, there is no other discussion. That's why our model is Pan-Africanism, or we perish. Unify, or we die. That's point blank it. Once again, there is no other way. And for those who believe that this is just as much theirs as it is the Caucasians, for those who believe in their system and all the things that they present, if you believe, you fine. Because I understand it. You have been, you know, inculcated. Caucasians, you know, because you're bombarded. You're bombarded 24/7, 365. Your mind is blown. Your mind is not your own. And you believe that somehow that these people will begin to act right, be right, and do right. You believe it because you've been trained to believe it. You've been trained to accept it. How you operate. You feel, I got mine. I went to school. I got a degree in so such and such, and I have a great job. I live in a community. In fact, I'm the first Black person to live in this community. And my daughter and my son, they go to the school and they're the first, you know, and we're treated well. And in fact, you know, maybe I heard some rumblings, but basically we had a community meeting and everybody supports our presence here. And they're glad that we're here. You know, obviously they don't want no more of us. If it's just us, they happy as hell that we're here. You know, they don't want no whole bunch of us being here, you know. And you know what? I don't either. I don't want a lot of Blacks here in this great neighborhood of ours. You know, my property values are up. And so if I had a lot of more Blacks, it would be down. So, no, I don't want that either. You know, I love the promise of America and the beauty of America and what America represents, that this is the grand experiment in the world where all these cultural groups can come together and sing America, you know. And many of us who may drop our traditional names and customs and traditions and religion and so forth to be American, you know. You see it all the time. Every, you know, they show the people who are getting citizenship and how happy they are, proudly raising their right hand to be a citizen of the United States. You know, yeah. Whether or not they do that, I could give less than a rat's. My contention and my whole purpose is for us. And I don't understand why many of us don't want to embrace that. Well, number one, because we've embraced the notion of inferiority of African people. So we cannot believe that we can run something of ourselves and it would be great. That's why I keep talking about Great Pyramid K 2019. In fact, Baba Akima of Us Lifting Us gave me a call. We talked because they, after I pushed it to them, they began to push it to their people. And he asked a question about Renoco, because I know I had a conversation with Renoco and a few others who still talk about, and I'm not sure if he eventually saw it, but I contentionally pushed it, and I will continue to do that. Because why? Because one thing for sure about that documentary, they've tried to make it plain about who, you know, they're trying to make it plain about who built the pyramids and how they built them. The documentary makes it clear. It wasn't any mixed race people. It wasn't any aliens. It wasn't Atlanteans. It wasn't Greeks. It wasn't Hebrews. It wasn't Jews. It was none of those things. None of those people. It was Africans, deeply melanated Africans who could work in that environment. They had three seasons. They had three seasons. They had the inundation, the agriculture, and then of course, and then it's during the inundation that they did the pyramid building, the temple building, and so forth. It was during the inundation because you got to have the planting and then the harvest. So those three seasons, and because they lived on a desert, the planting and then the harvest was vitally important to maintain the numbers of people who lived up and down the Nile River, the longest river in the world, over 4,000 miles, who lived up and down the Nile. And then when you come to look at the logic of Great Pyramid K, K stands for Kemet, which is Land of the Blacks, 2019, you understand how important it was for them to develop the solar disk, to melt the granite, to melt the other materials, to make statues and figurines and vases and so forth, also too, to cook food. If you use wood to burn, to cook, and obviously you're going to be cooking every day, possibly, then that would run out. And the trees were necessary sometimes to provide shade for different crops. So, you know, every time I've watched this, brothers and sisters, and I've seen it many times, and I'm going to see it many more, I always learn something new. And the fact that we carried this. In fact, I was listening to, since we're back on TuneIn, I was listening to a previous program on Time for an Awakening with Brother Ellie and Brother Richard. And he had on a young brother from Philadelphia who I've had on this program many times and will have on again. And that is Brother Akil Parker, who is a brother who teaches math, you know. And so the reason why I had him on the program that one time we were discussing this is because of math. The ancient Kemetic people, in developing the architecture and the pyramids and all of these things, were mathematicians. They created pi, the royal number, the meter. And initially, the measurements were water. They could measure. They could measure some object, and then, you know, it's like they used the king or the pharaoh. His foot, his arm, and so forth. Well, the next pharaoh is going to want his to be used, but he's a bigger man, or he's a smaller man. So what they wanted to develop and what they achieved, what they wanted to develop and what they achieved was perfection, mathematically. We're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, join the car. Anything you want to talk about, what's going on? What's going on in your world? Anything you want to talk about, let's do that. This is the Yo Show Friday. And I'm going to be developing a guest list for the next few weeks. And I'm glad to be back on. I'm glad to know that we're back on TuneIn again. So those who utilize TuneIn in their cars and on their phones and so forth can listen to the program without having to dial. And keeping their phone, you know, although you're quite sure, even though you dialed up, you'll still get a call with call waiting. So we're going to do that. We're going to take a break. And when we come back from the break, I'll take your calls and your questions, your comments, and your concerns. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Yeah. please, Mr. Groove, won't you come back home? Won't you come back? Please, won't you come back? Won't you come back? Please, won't you come back?
Brothers and sisters, it ain't over yet.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Man, I love that. Yeah. Yep, I love that. Bounce, roll, bounce. Yeah, I'm trying to think, was that from the ATL? I believe it was. Roll Bounce. There's another movie, too, skating movie. And, of course, then there's Mr. Groove. And every time I hear that, I think about one of my African trips when I had playing that up and down, walking up and down the aisles. Yeah, Mr. Groove. So, other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central. And the other programming that we have and all times are going to give our Eastern times. And so on Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia with Jahad Ahmed. And that's followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Cambon and Itaki Cambon. And then from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9 on Wednesdays. And Friday at 8 p.m. this evening, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then tomorrow, Saturdays from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9 tomorrow, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then on Sunday, from 7 to 9 on Sunday, once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. And we'll continue on with the conversation that you choose. This is a Yo Show Friday, and we have one of my favorite callers, 646. What's up, Jay?
Hey, what's happening, though? Nothing much, man. Nothing much. Just taking it easy, watching your people go through what they go through. You know, funny, you was talking about what's ever on one's mind. What's on my mind these days is this whole thing they call democracy, which is a joke. Absolutely a joke. And at some point in time, I hope it needs to us waking up and seeing that we have to go in a new direction and, you know, get our sovereignty elsewhere. Because it's clearly, and I think a lot of people don't understand this, there's 58 people in this country that really control the democracy of the country. And two of them are Black. And those two worthless, no good Negroes are Tim Scott and Clarence Thomas. Tim Scott of the Republican Party and Clarence Thomas of the Supreme Court. And those two entities, along with the white boy Merchant and the white woman Shinnessy, are the ones that are keeping the so-called H.R. 1 bill from passing that will allow for a continuation of so-called democracy in this country. And unfortunately, our people don't get it. They don't understand it. They think that they really going to put pressure on the so-called president and the so-called vice president to make it do what it do. But it's not going to do what it's going to do because of the simple fact that these saltines and these handkerchief head Negroes are in importance of keeping white supremacy moving forward with white domination in the path of the direction of the country moving forward. And we just don't get it. We don't understand. So we haven't even been able to figure out how to put forward the true narrative in regards to what's going on. These crazy people think that voting is going to solve this situation. But the way the game is rigged, your vote means nothing.
Your vote means nothing. It really does. Your vote means nothing.
And they show it to you every day. Yeah. They show it to you every day in every way, but you just don't pick up on it. You just don't understand it. You just don't see it. You know, you have to give certain sorties credit for strategically placing themselves in a position to do what they do. You know what I mean? I mean, a small minority that has the total control of a majority is a hell of a thing, brother. Yeah. I mean, you can't even get people to understand. Like I just said, there's 58 people that control the direction on how this country moves forward. And the sad thing is,
you got the 50 senators who are who are Republican, and you got the nine.
I'll break it down to you like this. I'll give it to you like this. It's the 50 Republican senators. It's the six Supreme Court justices
that are conservative,
and the two that's conservative, and the two sycophant Democratic Party members, Shinnessy and Merchant. And that 58 right there controls the direction of the country. Okay. And people just don't get it. Because, you know, the one thing you got to give the Republican Party credit is they stay on code. They stay locked in as one and on code. You may be able to knock off one of them or two of them, but on the whole, they ain't going to do nothing to make it to where as the so-called Republicans stay in a power position and, you know, do this whole thing with voter suppression, redistricting, and all of those supposed things to keep, you know, minorities and others out of the process to where they can really have control based on numbers. So, I mean, you know, we don't understand it. We don't want to accept it, but that's basically the reality.
Well, because the society always says one thing and does another, and we believe what they say. We consistently believe what these Caucasians say coming out of D.C., coming out of different other entities, organizations, and so forth. We believe what they say. And our history should tell us different. But yet we fail to look at the history, as Malcolm told us, of all our studies. History is best qualified to reward our research. Look at the history, but we continue to believe that it's a new day. Just like that Negro who was getting the vaccine, who said, "Well, I know the Tuskegee experiment was bad, but now this is a new opportunity for the United States, and I forgive them."
I mean, just listen to the word. Listen to the word that you just used, a new opportunity. What kind of effing opportunity should you ever give your oppressor to do right by you? He never going to do right by you. He just going to make it seem like he's doing something. Listen to the word. Something right by you. But he's never going to do nothing right by you because it's not in his interest to do right by you.
Exactly.
Because if he ever does right by you, then he has to atone for the evil that he's done to you. And if he doesn't atone for the evil that he's done to you, then he ain't done sugar, honey, iced tea. Let's stop playing games.
Yeah. And to me, when you look at the dynamics of this society and how we have been treated, and yet we still have no recourse. We still have no redress. We still don't have any reparations or any kinds of retribution for the things that have happened to us and now continue to happen to us. And yet,
why
we keep
that?
Holding out hope.
Why?
Because we're dealing with an entity that we don't understand, Jay. We don't have a damn clue.
And we don't collectively come together to form an alliance with ourselves to make what he's done to us payable. We haven't figured out how to go about the business of putting the hammer to this salt team. That's our biggest mistake.
The other thing is that because of the influence of Europeans globally on the continent, throughout the diaspora that we are affected by, and particularly here in the United States, because they push this idea of individualism. They consistently do it. Don't worry about them. You got a job. You know, just like back in the day when I was president of the Black Firefighters Association, pushing for more of us getting on the job, being retained and being promoted and all that kind of thing. And the call came to me, why are you got a job. You should just be happy. You should just shut the hell up and be happy you got a job.
Yeah.
You know? You know, don't be worried about trying to get more on the job. I don't want no more of y'all on this damn job. And then trying to be promoted and rule over. No, I don't want none of that. Just you shut up, be happy. You know, and then around that same time, Bobby McFerrin came up with that song, "Don't Worry, Be Happy."
Yeah.
Don't
you
worry,
know what I mean?
Be happy.
I mean, it's just crazy how we don't see the abuse and the manipulation of what this white man has been able to do to put us in this box, to where as we can't honestly see clearly how we're being manipulated and used and taken advantage of and put in a situation to where as we're never going to obtain the things that we wish for in this country. Now, individuals may, but collectively, we just in trouble.
Exactly.
You would think it would be better.
Exactly. It is not designed for us to do good in this country collectively. It is not. It's never designed for us to do any good where there's Caucasians and us for us to do collectively. Because it would destroy them. It would make them uncomfortable. It would put them in a precarious position. And they don't want that. They want to be in control. They want to be the dominant force. They want to be able to dictate, you see. And so, therefore, not to upset Caucasians, just like what they're talking about, this critical race theory and the 1619 Project and all this other stuff that basically is, we don't want to tell you how evil you are. And I know
But you know, the crazy thing about the 1619 Project is how incomplete it is, how much information was left out, and how people are praising it. That just goes to show our ignorance and lack of knowledge in regards to our history and how these Negroes are always so happy to just make an inadequate statement and then get praised for it. Mm-hmm. Like, come on. I mean, there's so much information that was left out of it that shouldn't have been in it, that how could that be a threat? What the hell would happen if she really put forward a serious, serious work? It would scare the sugar, honey, iced tea out of these white folks. You see how they're in a panic over it now.
Yeah.
You know,
and
the critical race theory thing is just something that shows the manipulation of the media without the true truth being put forward to, you know, be honest about what the narrative is. Think about it. How is it able to move forward on the level that it's moving forward without a real, real serious pushback from people who are supposed to be the thought merchants of critical race theory? Think about that.
See, the bottom line is that this society will never come to the reality of who and what they are. It's always the fallacy of who they are and the greatness of them, the founding fathers. And so they continue to lie. They are liars. They will continue to lie. And so when they were confronted by Dr. DeAngelis, Caucasian woman, who wrote about the Caucasian fragility, or white fragility, because they don't want to hear it. You know, right. She did these workshops. She did these workshops when Michael Brown situation, Trayvon Martin and so forth. And she basically wanted to say to the Caucasians, particularly those who are suburbanites and so forth, that these things are happening in this country and these are reasons why. Well, they don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that.
No question.
You know, and they didn't want to hear it from her. And they sure in the hell don't want to hear it from us.
Would you want to confront your true history, the barbaric, sick, evil dog that you are, the murderous,
of racist, course not.
All of the things that is just your bonding nature as a people.
Jay, even Winston Churchill, who I can't stand the British. And because now, what is the image of the British today? The royals. The royal family. Look how they are treated consistently because they're part of this United Snakes. How they're glorified. Almost every damn day you hear something about Britain and so forth. And how they are one of the main ones who have perpetrated the racism and the taking of land and the murdering and the genocide. The British. What they did in Africa, what they did in Kenya. I mean, the British. But yet, you know, because they have been able to whitewash that, that's how people perceive them. You know, no, man, I'm telling you, it will never happen. And yet we continue to hope and pray that these Caucasians will have an epiphany and say to us.
An epiphany?
Oh, yeah.
You know, as Clay Davis say, geez. It ain't, look, the reality is this. The white man can't confront his truth and move forward just like them South Africans who they tried to confront their truth. And think about it. They did what they did. And, you know, they still in power. Here in America, if the white man confronted his truth because of the mindset of who and what we are as a people, the white man would still retain his position. The white man's position in this country is never going to go nowhere because he has the one thing that most people don't have. He has a barbaric mentality and a death.
It's a death wish.
He would kill everything before he allows himself not to be the dominant factor. Yeah. Why you ever think he came up with the atomic bomb and all of those types of things?
And there's
because
no doubt. And there's no doubt that it will be used because they've been used before. And Jay, you're right in that respect because, you know, they can't handle the truth. And in immortal words of Jack Nicholson's character, Colonel Nathan Jessup in A Few Good Men, they can't handle the truth. And that's a fact. They can't because of their history and how they developed. When books came out, one written by a Caucasian, Michael Bradley, The Iceman's Inheritance, he explains why and how they're in their evolutionary development that they have the mindset that they do, that they're sexist, greedy, selfish, racist. Nature. No, that's not who they want to be. They want to be good. They want to believe that they shared knowledge of the world, that they gave the world Christianity and it was good and salvation for all these other people. Other people were there. We were heathens and no good and uncouth and, you know, savages. And the Caucasian, the European came and civilized them. Of course, nothing could be further from the truth. I got some other callers, Jay. You just hold on, dear brother. Let me get some other callers here. All right. 761 716, good afternoon, 716.
And you know who it is.
Oh, man, it's Mike
and
O'Brien.
And you know who it is.
Mike Brown, brothers and
so
sisters.
I'm so thoroughly enjoying this, brother, man. I'm so happy you came to me. I've been just like, man, I have accomplished my goal was to tell these two brothers how it was rocking this here world, Jack.
I hear you, brother.
Calling them folks out is one thing, okay? And I don't have a problem with them, and they're upset about them being having an attitude about critical race theory. I don't have a problem. I hope they continue to, because that's the only way attempting to defend their lie forces them to continue repeating it.
Right. And exposing it.
Forces them.
Exactly.
Exposing the fact
exactly.
that there is this lie. Well, I tell you what, if you cannot produce the truth, then that makes what's the 1619 Project or Critical Race Theory Project, whatever that you want to describe it as, which is no different than the work that John Henry Clark and Ben Johawk and all of them have been
yes.
doing all the way through the flick.
Yeah.
Okay. So now if you want to bring it into a political realm, that's fine. Because everybody has a vote. I want to be in the political realm where everybody get a vote. I want to be in the dark room or in the boardroom where I'm the only one there without a vote. In fact, I'm on the menu.
Yeah.
I ain't got to worry about being at the table for crumbs or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the point that you raised at the very end of your soliloquy about Britain and its role in being able to expand the very idea of racism. The racism was a creation of white people in order to have a vested interest in being able to be barbaric.
That's right. That's right.
It was a con game, a logic game,
yeah.
word play,
yeah.
You know, word play.
Yeah.
And that's okay, you know.
At least
now, they were speaking Swahili, and you coming in here with some Dutch. And when it got from Swahili land to Dutch, everything was altogether different
mm-hmm.
by the time it got from one spot to the other. You never told the chief he was coming back with an army and kill everybody and put them on boats and shit. That mm-hmm. wasn't part of the rib, but he was sitting down, trading. He was trading, all right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, preparing to take over. I mean, you know, this history, that's the beauty of looking at history through African eyes, looking at history through
it
an African concept.
That's how you see the beauty of it.
Yeah. You know,
that's
mean,
the only way to see the beauty of it.
But see, the other thing, though, Brother Mike, is that it is painful. And that's why a lot of our people don't want to do it and don't want to look at it because it's painful. We'd rather not do it and continue on with the lies that the European has perpetuated because he's so deceitful. He's so manipulative. So he makes us believe that, you know, we just cannot continue forward. It's going to get better. You know, barriers are being broken down all the time. You know, look at... A black girl wanted a spelling bee.
Also, barriers being re-erected and new barriers being erected on the daily. Oh, we took that barrier down. No, but you got a higher one over here. What are you talking about?
Yeah. And see, my contention is, I understand that. That's why I say I reject them. I reject whatever they bring. I reject them, period. We need to close ranks, pull our resources,
yes.
and do for ourselves. That's the bottom line. And unfortunately,
I just had a conversation with my nephew, and we were talking about this reparations issue. I said, well, you know what? The option that's available to us to determine how we had talked before, Oshie, mm-hmm. about when your audience or your public or your action, there's an action part, something to do,
mm-hmm.
something to do with what's being said. What if we escrowed all of our federal taxes, paid them directly into an escrow account, and said they're not coming out of that escrow account until there's an issue of reparations resolved? There's no way that they can bring an action against you so long as you make your,
right,
your
that's
whatever
true. That's
tax
true.
Liability
right.
executed
that,
and provided to that escrow fund. So
right.
long as it's there, and they're going to have to check every digit,
mm-hmm.
okay, before they come rolling up on you, you violate, they do the Wesley Snipes on you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And see, even at that, man,
then
because
you can fund that.
You know, there are people who have understood that the tax program is not real, is not true. You're not supposed to be able to do it, but yet and still it pervades. It's very prevalent.
But that was also revealed just recently with the numbers of people who are billionaires or whatever, using the manipulation of what has been the tax law. They manipulated it in front by having their lobbyists. Then they manipulated again so that it can be understood how they took the money from you, from that dough that was laying over there, to where now they're getting rewarded for for having manipulated the tax laws.
I mean, even...
They've gotten rewarded. And this is not a manipulation. That right is available to every taxpayer to put their monies in escrow.
And see...
If they got any sort of a beef about where that money is going or whatever, the state can't claim that you didn't pay your taxes. The feds can't claim you didn't pay them. All you have is it's in the escrow.
Mm-hmm.
And you can leave it there in perpetuity. Shit.
See,
if that's what it's going to be. And allow to gain interest on it, too.
Yeah, oh, definitely. It's
the
huge
same
interest.
Way he do.
Right. I mean, see, what's
same
interesting.
Same way he do. All that, payroll deduction. That shit goes in the government just like a loan you gave them. You paid your taxes. Bullshit.
Yeah.
You just loaned me some dough.
Well, see, the thing is this.
I'm going to take mine out later on.
See, the thing is this, brother. You know, here, once again, it's the doublespeak. They do one thing and they say one thing and they do another. You know.
That's right.
The belief
that. And we're guilty of that, too, in some respects.
Well, I'm just putting the point.
That too.
Listen, I'm just putting a point on the fact of what the society says is going to do in terms of taxes, in terms of people paying
service
their fair
delivery.
Share. Exactly, because of your taxes, you have these amenities that we all put taxes in, and we all can share. I mean, libraries, public spaces, parks, and so forth, and a lot of other things.
Who is sharing? The numbers of satellites that we didn't pay for and put up there. And we still got a phone bill. What? Oh, I made this Verizon on my own. No, you didn't, clown.
Mm-hmm.
The very roads that delivered that phone on is paid for by everybody.
Yeah.
And that means you got to pay in your piece or lose the right. I don't know how anybody could imagine that Fox News or anything, almost anything Fox is producing, is considered in the public interest. That's your ticket to being able to get on TV on the air, is to be in the public interest. If it's not in the public interest, it qualifies as pornographic.
Yeah, well, you know, in this society...
Having no redeeming social value.
Right, in this society, there are all these divergent perspectives that are out there. And, of course, the main one that is out there, of course, is European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. That's the main one.
Yeah.
In fact, all
that
others
is the main,
are.
But those are descriptors.
Right.
Those are descriptors.
You know,
those are descriptive terms. They don't define. They describe.
But the bottom line, though, Mike, is that all the other ones are no count because that is the prevailing mindset. It is all about
all
maintaining
other,
control.
No, I'm saying all the other what?
Don't
matter.
All the other perspectives. You know,
No. I think that all the other perspectives have to bow to that one perspective.
Right.
You're dealing with an animal. The description that you had given, Brother Jay. But Brother Jay.
Yep, out of New York.
Man, what you defined is the devil. If you go burn up the whole world so that because you can't have it.
Right. And he's that way.
That's who he is.
Let me take this caller. Just hold on, Brother Mike Brown. Appreciate your call, man. You know I do. Unknown caller. Good afternoon.
God save our glorious queen.
Yeah, man, Jay, man, Brother Paul. Brother Paul, man, you know,
man.
I
thought I'd have to sing the national anthem to you, man.
No, man.
I know how much you hate the British. I thought you'd love hearing our national anthem and saving our glorious queen.
How are things in the UK, Brother Paul?
Well, Brother OC, I'm alive, so if
right
I'm
on.
Alive, I can do better, and I'm better, I must do, so... That's a bonus, Brother Ochi, you know?
Thank you so much, man.
If every day I wake up, I give thanks Right being on. Alive. I get right alive, on. You know?
Hey, Brother Paul, are you hearing us on TuneIn now for a change?
Oh, you're reading my mind, Babauchi, because I was going to ask you. I was going to ask you just about that technical difficulty. No, when I tried to tune in today, I couldn't get through. No, the same buffer. I don't believe in coincidences, but you know what? Let's use the term for this sake of this discussion. It's no coincidence that Galaxy, you know, Galaxy of Fools is almost like a sister station to your station, promoting the same sort of Afrocentric ideology. We've got the same problems with tuning, amazingly. And the crazy thing is, when I go around to the other radio stations who are playing music and throwing a lot of bullcrap, they're not having that problem. You can hear them
right.
clearly.
Right. Exactly.
You understand?
Exactly.
So, you know, one could say that's a coincidence, but we know what goes on. You know,
sure. Sure.
Unfortunately, when you're held to ransom through the technology and you don't own it, you don't control it, then you're at the mercy of those who control it.
Exactly. You are.
And that's where we're at.
Oh, I was hoping, because I know that we were off. We were off tune in for a while. And the only way you could listen to this program and the other ones that are on Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard and whatever else, Dr. Rogers, is through the call-in and the timeforanawakening.com. Sometimes you can listen that way, but mostly it was on the call-in, the 215-490-9832 number, you know. But we're back on TuneIn because I always try to, after I come on the air, is go to TuneIn to see if I'm being heard on TuneIn, you know, because that makes it easier for a lot of listeners. You go to TuneIn on your phone or a mobile device or whatever, and you see the offerings and you hit Time for an Awakening. And if it's 11 o'clock or a.m. Eastern time, what is that, 3 o'clock your time?
Yeah.
Yep, 3 o'clock your time.
Five hours. Yeah,
in the U.K., then, you know, you can listen to it. But unfortunately, this program is still, for you in the UK, not happening. So, but that is what it is, you know. So, but
yes,
I'm always glad that you reach out.
Baba Ochi, it's going to boil down to the same thing. If we don't have control over the systems
right.
and technology, then we're at someone else's mercy. And that's exactly, you know, I mean, it's clear. It's clear what's happening. I mean, even Sister Station Galaxy, if we, you know, if for instance, I take my laptop into a library, you can connect to the Wi-Fi, yeah? Free through the library.
Right.
Certain stations you can't access, yeah? So that tells me, and it you know, I've tried more than one, even certain institutions where they have free Wi-Fi. When you attempt to log on certain stations, over the internet stations, you can't get them. You can't access them. So it tells me that there's some marker. There's a marker being placed on certain radio stations, which, because, you know, I understand this technology because I'm in it. Mm-hmm. So therefore, the streaming service, which is a third-party service, somehow they've been marked. Now, let's take WOL for one. You know, I listened to WOL. When I first used to listen to it, you could access it with no problem. And then all of a sudden, you couldn't access it. Now, to access it, you have to use what we call a VPN, virtual private network, which is basically, it's quite simple. What it is, it hides your IP address, which is your address, what the server's looking for. It hides that, and it gives the impression that you're coming in from America. So it uses an IP address in America. Are you following me?
Okay, yeah.
So for me to access WOL, I have to use the software is called VPN, and what it does, it gives the impression that I'm coming in from America or coming in from Canada.
Right.
Both, you know, so it also protects your IP address, so other people can't access it. But the bottom line is that what's actually happening is these stations are being marked, and most times, because you know, I actually spoke to the technical people at WOL, and they were telling me, no, the signal's going out. So it made me realize they weren't even aware they weren't going out around the world. It weren't going out. They were under the impression that it was going out around the world. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason why this conversation is so important, because for those listening, they need to understand, you're not getting internet to the World Wide Web as you think you're getting. You're
right.
Not. And I've
right.
been telling people this for time, even Google. Google, from day one, have been blocking information and censoring information for
right.
years and years and years.
Facebook as well. Yes. Facebook as well. Exactly.
Absolutely. Yep. Long before Facebook, I mean, Google is the main search engine which most people go to access their information.
That's true.
But what it has been doing from day one is regionalizing the information and giving you the impression that you're doing a worldwide web search, but you're not. Mm-hmm. You're not. You never have been. And, there's other things, procedures which America has brought in, like net neutrality. I won't go into it now, but I think it was Clinton, one of those introduced this thing called net neutrality, which basically what they're trying to do is chop up the internet and charge you according to how much you're using. You understand? And I can see that coming in slowly. And this is the reason why they're restricting certain access. And in the future, what they're going to try and do is charge you, like if you want to go search wherever, you know, outside America or even different states or whatever. This is where it's going. And people can do something about it, because the internet, the original concept of the internet was supposed to be free
right.
access and free...
Free access globally. Free access globally. Exactly.
Globally. But unfortunately, the people do not really understand the technology. They don't understand how it's moving. They don't understand what's really happening to them or you know, how much... they really don't have a clue what it's about. So... You know, like right now, if I go and tune in, I can't access it. And it's interesting to know that you can, because then it tells me that, the access is being blocked outside of New York. The same thing is now happening. And one by one, they're doing that and marking certain, what they consider,
right.
I don't know.
Right, because if the content of your program challenges the prevailing government...
Absolutely.
And other ideologies, the how the laws and so. If you're challenging all of that, then you're going to be censored. You know, you're going to be restricted. You know, you can't.
You know the main. Sorry to cut you, Baba Ochi, but one thing I've heard Elliot say many times, and it's so, what's the word? It's so important. He would say. It's like exactly what you're saying. If the content is full of jokes and full of
right.
humor or
right.
something, then you know that's okay. But if you're speaking something what matters, especially being a black person, an African American mm-hmm. African person, mm-hmm. that's a problem. They see
right.
that as a point, and they are listening and they are
right.
monitoring every word. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And the bottom line is, they do not want us. Especially internationally. I know 1,000,000%. They do not want us internationally speaking to one another. They
sure.
don't, because that is how they run their game.
Sure.
You know, and I have to sink this point across. Yes, nationally they play the game, but it's the international game is where they're winning. You understand?
You know,
that's
back
how they control the planet.
Back when Jimmy Carter was president, Zbigniew Brzezinski was his national security advisor. Article appeared in the Daily Paper. Never forget it. He stated that we will do everything that we can to prevent Africans on the continent and Africans in the diaspora from coming together. We'll do everything and anything that we can to prevent that from happening, because they know if that would happen. And just as you just mentioned, the Africans can communicate with one another effectively and then begin to form alliances and control resources and land and so forth, kicking out the Chinese, kicking out the Arabs, kicking out the Caucasians, kicking out the whoever else, the Indians, and controlling our land and resources. Now we are players in the world instead of the pawns that we have become. We are players, and we would say to anybody, you want these resources? You pay fair market value for it. But once again, as I mentioned before, and you can look him up on YouTube, Howard Nicholas. Howard Nicholas is giving a presentation to a group of whoever, and he says unequivocally, We must never let Africa develop its own resources. We must never let Africa begin to produce things. Africa must be kept poor. Africa must be kept poor so we can get their resources for little or nothing, and we produce them. We must never let, this challenge to us as African people has been in our face for so long, and yet, because of the theologies that we believe in, because of the political philosophies that we have, our ties to politics by these folks, prevents us saying, to hell with y'all. Let us come together. Let us, form bonds and let us close our ranks and pull our resources and damn it, do for ourselves. It can happen. It must happen if we are to survive. But it sure in hell can't happen at this moment because we are so fragmented, because we believe so dearly about the British and the damn queen. We believe so dearly, about all this other madness. It is sickening, man. It is sickening.
Let me just put this in. It's important. We need a solution, right? We talk about solutions. I've been looking at this thing in the last few months very heavily. This movement of currencies and cryptocurrency, trying to navigate and understand what's really happening and how it's working. And I just want to say this. We're at a time where we can, let me just put it this way. The whole thing behind this is behind cryptocurrency is moving away from a central banking system. They use a central banking system to manipulate and take hold of currencies.
Mm-hmm.
The technology now allows you to move that to your phone or to move it to a device,
sure,
where you can trade what is known in the IT terms as peer-to-peer, which simply means from computer to computer,
right,
without going for a centralized system, yeah? And you use a system called blockchain, which is basically a digital ledger system. If you might imagine a filing cabinet, it's a digital version of that.
Right.
And the premise behind it is that it can correct itself and it can be secured by use of a code, yeah, whether that's true or not.
And see, and see, Brother Paul, what they're constantly, those who have been hacking into a government, and that's not just here in America, the governments around the world, whether it is an offshoot of Russians or Chinese or whoever else is doing it, how they want, using that ransomware, how they want the ransom to be paid is in cryptocurrency.
Yes, yes. So what I'm saying is this, my brother. You know, we have an opportunity to take control of this, because me having a level 10 and being in IT, it's my hobby, it's what I've done in work. So I kind of see certain things a bit differently. If we teach the young people how this thing really works, and it's not that difficult, in Saturday school, start to teach them coding, start to teach them programming, right? When these young people grasp that not only that they can use this, they can use it to make wealth, create wealth for themselves. When they grasp that function, more wealth than they can imagine in 10 lifetimes. I'm telling you, I'm not making this up, you fully understand what I'm coming from. When they start to grasp this thing, they won't want to go out and bang each other, shoot each other, sell drugs to one another, because that's going to be a waste of time for them. And they're going to understand this. This is a global thing. This is not a hood thing or something you do in your locality. This is a global. And through your phone or through your device, you have access to the world. You can do it. All of them can do it. But we need to teach them. We need to enshrine them with the knowledge to do it. Mm-hmm. Boys, girls, any one of them that can do it. Yeah. And this is the time. Now, if we wait another 10 years, because what they're trying to do now, let me give you an example. Jamie Dimon, the biggest banker in the world, right? About 5 years ago, he said cryptocurrency and all this is a fly-by-night, just like the doubters and the haters, because they didn't understand what was happening. They don't understand. They might understand banking, but they don't understand how this technology is moving, right? Now, each one of those banks are trying to create a digital a token,
mm-hmm,
right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to get in because they realize that this thing is ahead of them. So our young people, right, need to understand where this is going. That's our solution. If we want reparations, yeah, we need leverage, right? We can't just be begging them, walking in the street, marching up and down the place, singing whatever we're going to sing, right? Because that ain't going to work. We need leverage, right? If we when we get wealth and power, we use that leverage to force them into a situation. You understand?
Yeah.
And this is the solution. One of the solutions is to understand and get to grips with this technology. And it doesn't matter how old you are and how young you are, right? Because I watched the other day a 6-year-old take a tablet, and I was just amazed how he manipulated that tablet.
Yeah.
2006. Understand? So, brother, it really matters not how young you are or old you are.
Yeah. We only got a couple minutes, Brother Paul. Let me try to get Jay back in here. Okay. Just got it. Oh, thank you. Stay on the line. Brother Jay. Oh, man, I thought you were still on, Brother Jay. Have a good weekend. Brother Mike Brown. Brother Mike Brown, are you listening? Okay, well, that's cool because my time is up. It is one.
I think the God saved the queen, run them away.
I know it ran me away. Damn it! That's God save the queen. Man, I tell you, I hope the Caribbean really, because there's so many places in the Caribbean that she is still a head official of, which is a damn shame. In fact, every place around the world that the British should be paying out big reparations. They should be paying out big fees to all the shit that they have done and taken. But that's another subject for another day. And I know that me and you will deal with it, Brother Paul. Appreciate you, man.
Absolutely.
All right, brother.
Absolutely.
All right. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor, the mind of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to heal the African mind, but not just the MIND, but the MINE, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure the hell damn it don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful weekend. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bivahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a wonderful weekend. You be safe out there. Hope you come back to listen on Monday. Brothers and sisters, peace.